everybody, we're back. This is the Giselle Show podcast, Mid Friends, where we are making things up, being real, and talking about it.
What?
Later in the podcast, we're going to have some 100 words, a story from Giselle, a sketch from the Giselle Show players, and also a living room comedy show featuring Kate Lure. But right now, let us take a quick trip into the kitchen to check what Marty is doing for cooking. Woo-hoo. With Marty. Here I go. Mm.
Giselle?
We're coming to see what you're doing.
Hi.
Ooh, hello. Marty has got onions, I see, and some tomato sauce simmering on the stove.
Well, you had some people with... you had everybody pick two ingredients. Right?
These are my ingredients, I feel.
Two ingredients, and what? So you already did the popcorn and tomato.
Mm-hmm.
So now what you're doing?
Well, you'll see, won't you?
Oh, I guess I will.
Yeah.
Everything but yep, under control
everything,
under here?
Yep, and just enjoying messing up your beautiful kitchen.
Oh, you're so sweet.
All right.
Your mess is a beautiful mess.
All right, we'll see you in a bit.
Okay, thank you very much, Marty. We look forward. That's going to be delicious. All right. Switching back to the other microphone now.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kate Lure is a standing-up comic and a writer.
I'm glad she's standing up.
She went to a fancy college. She do improv and stand-up and sketch comedy in venues all over the country. She is the co-creator of Broadly Speaking, a comedy game show fundraiser, which she also hosts. She's a lovely lady. She likes to read and hike and see theater and go to museum. She's just cute as a button and funny as can be. She's here for us today to do some standing-up comedy right here in the living room. Ladies and gentlemen, Kate Lure!
Yay!
Woo. Morning. Very excited to meet Marty, the snack man. Snack man. Are you guys all people who enjoy eating things like food and other kinds of food?
I do.
Yeah.
I do, yeah.
Right, great. But not straight up, though, right? Like, what fad do you follow? Do you do, like, no meat?
Mostly gluten? No gluten.
Yeah.
Although I already broke that rule today, didn't I, Giselle?
Keep going.
So, okay. And now there's blending in the background. Fantastic.
Well, we can
anyway,
hear you more
I'm my point is I'm 100% with you. I am entirely on the food boundary bandwagon. Well, maybe not 100% because I kind of have to keep redrawing my boundaries in a way that allows me to still feel like I'm being a good person, but also, you know, still eat what I want. So, like, for me, it all started with shrimp because a couple of years ago, I learned that about 80% of the shrimp we eat in this country is imported, and 100% of our imported shrimp is harvested via slave labor. So I stopped eating that immediately because I don't want dirty people handling my food. Gross. thank you, Marty, in the kitchen. Thank you. Marty. Also, I found that if I get on my moral high horse about boycotting shrimp, that allows me to ride right past any thoughts I should have about what kind of labor provides the fruit I eat, or the coffee I drink, or the clothes I wear, or the gadgets I use, or the toys I buy for kids who need more lead in their bloodstream. Because you have to draw the line somewhere, right? So I just draw it right above slave shrimp, and then everything else makes the cut. It's fine. I also don't drape myself in blood diamonds, and it's obviously for that reason. So back to the food boundaries. I did stop eating animals because my love for them finally outgrew my love for their deliciousness. I just find that it's a whole lot easier to be a good person if it's not hard. So it actually wasn't that difficult for me to stop eating anything you can pet. Where I end up having issues is with fish. Fishes, if you will. you know, because at first it was like, well, I should still be able to eat things like mussels and scallops. That's food without a face. That's practically vegetables. And then I was like, well, I still want to eat things like cod and catfish. So, okay, I'm going to say I'm willing to eat anything I would also be willing to catch. Plus tuna, but only if it's in sushi because that's where it's most delicious. And finally, I had to be like, all right, screw it. If it didn't have a leading role in Finding Nemo, slaughter it by the millions, put it on my plate. It doesn't matter to me. If Pixar didn't think it deserved lines, I don't think it deserves to live. Put it in my belly now. Now, some people think you should make your seafood selections based on something other than a fish's IMDb credits. And those people will say things to me like, oh, but it's not sustainable. And think of the mercury levels and you're starving the dolphins. Let's stop right there. Can we not all agree at this point that dolphins are the mean girls of the sea? That's not a judgment. That's just science. Oh, look at me. I'm so beautiful and graceful. I have perfect teeth and a blowhole. Shut up, dolphin. Go suck an oil spill, you magical whore. I also don't feel bad about eating fish because I believe in reincarnation. Not for religious reasons, but because it just makes sense. You know, recycle, reuse, renew. And I know if I were cycling through as some lowborn clam or crawdad, I would want to get that nonsense over with as soon as possible so that I could come back as something good, like a honey badger or Adele. She is magnificent. Hello. I do try to recycle. Mainly because I don't want to live in a post-apocalyptic wasteland where both hope and water are the stuff of legend. I feel like it would be uncomfortably warm. And there may be some sort of desert dolphin there because you know those suckers can adapt. Oh, look at me. I'm spinning in the sand. God damn it, you ostentatious cunt. Do you not see that I am trying to eat my gluten-free neighbor? Could you please just go inhale a plastic bag or something? Nobody wants that, so I recycle. And I apologize if I offended anyone just now with my use of that word. Ostentatious. Because sometimes, you know, people are like, I don't know what that means. Speak American. It means cunty, basically. In this context. Boy, you have to be so careful about what you say these days, don't you? Because one wrong move and the internet will destroy you with its nonstop rage. Man, we love to yell at each other on the internet. But is it working? Like, just quick survey of this definitive sample size. How many of you have ever reversed a core belief based on an exchange with a stranger in a comment section? Show of hands, anyone? Don't be afraid. Just put it. No, of course not. Of course you haven't. Because you don't see. This is like, here's a tweet you will never read. Dear @ tongue my balls 69. After further reflection upon your nuanced argument, and in consideration of your well-reasoned and evidence-based counterpoints, I must concede that you are not, in fact, a goat-molesting monkey puppet who should choke to death on your own feces. I rescind my earlier statement to that effect. Yours in Christ, @ the kitten squisher. You're never going to read that. You're never going to read, mainly because it's too many characters. You'll be relieved to know that I do not have children. My husband and I go back and forth on whether we want to create a little resource sucker, but the truth is I am none too keen to register for the vagina destroying marathon that is pregnancy. For one thing, I don't care to give up drinking for 4 months. For another thing, it was hard enough for me to have to give up shrimp. All right, I'm going to conclude my joke-telling segment even as we speak. Do you want me to keep going?
Yeah, you're
you want
funny.
Me to tell more jokes?
Tell some more jokes.
All right. Well, I will say I've been a stepmother for the last 15 years. Everybody knows that doesn't count. My stepdaughter was 3 when my husband and I got together, which is coincidentally the same age at which she began a lifelong obsession with the Disney princesses. And Disney, as you may know, has a very specific take on stepmothers. So thanks for that, Mouse House. I am not one to wholly embrace the digital age, as you may have guessed. I go on Twitter and I get confused and a little bit angry and then I leave. I set up a Twitter account, but I have 0 followers and I've only ever sent one tweet and it said, I exist, and nobody retweeted it. So it may not be true. I don't know. I don't really understand how that works. And it's because I I have always been an old woman since I was like 10. And I don't mean an old soul, like full of wisdom and hippie juice. I mean like a cranky, gassy, turn down that racket. It takes me 2.5 hours to open a piece of candy during a play. I go see plays. Kind of old person. Like I love doing things that old people do, like voting and eating soup. I had an actual, you know, when Facebook gives you your Facebook memories, I had a status from 3 years ago that was literally doing a jigsaw puzzle while watching the Best Exotic Marigold Hotel because I'm 100. And I've always been this way since I was a kid. Like when I was in seventh grade, AKA every child's best year, I had a Spanish teacher who asked us to get up and talk about our favorite actors. And so, of course, all the girls are talking about like Tom Cruise and Johnny Depp and Richard Grieco. That tells you what age I actually am. I got up and talked about my favorite actor, Mr. George Burns. Now, for those of you, I don't think you guys are too young to remember, but some of your listeners, sadly, maybe, George Burns began in vaudeville, so he was 90, like when I was born. So I got up and talked about his groundbreaking work in the definitive film Oh God, You Devil, and it didn't sound any cooler in Spanish than it does as I explain it to you in English right now. P.S. I shared this very popular opinion. Oh,
there you go.
Back?
You're on.
Yeah.
P.S. I shared this extremely popular opinion while wearing a powder blue sweatshirt with black footprints on it that said, my dog walks all over me. So I hope I've answered your questions this morning. If at any point your questions were, I wonder if Kate was popular as a child, or I wonder why she went into comedy. All right, that now have I told enough jokes? Are you people satisfied now? All right, thank you very much. What? Good night, Kate. I get it. Aww. Good night, Gracie.
Sweet. Jenny Marie have tweeted in funny set. you know something, Jenny Marie? I agree. Kate, that was great.
Thank you. Kate. That was a lot more than I was expecting to do.
That's great.
I kept being like, oh, it's way over 7 minutes.
No, it was funny. You was really funny stuff. You're a good writer. Your jokes are a good blend of, they're smart. There's some intellectual humor in there. And they take a twist at the end.
Yeah.
You know?
Where it's less intellectual. which part, Giselle, was it?
How do you come up with material? How do you write your jokes?
Oh, God. Who knows? I just start writing what's on my brain and then try to make it funny. I don't know. Whatever's of interest to me at the moment, I try to.
Do you carry around a little notebook or a digital voice recorder?
I don't do that. I tend to write while lying awake at night, unable to sleep. I come up with so many good jokes then, and then I just repeat them in my head for about an hour, and then I write them in the morning. But no, I sit at a computer and I write very precisely to try to, like, every word is. I'll write out things like the word like and you know and interrupting myself. I've given away my secrets.
No, no, no. So you write your jokes word for word and memorize them that way.
May I ask a question? Wait, you did that then? Like
just
you,
now?
Yeah.
In my.
Like you were saying, like your
did
likes
did I destroy
and your
the magic by saying
no? It's okay. It's really so, interesting.
I just would never have thought that.
Yeah,
it's really interesting.
Yeah. I write the conversational.
That's so amazing.
Sound
I never.
It
doesn't seem.
I want
like
to
that.
Tell you. I do the same thing in my storytelling. I write everything out exactly what I want to say with the pauses and the and the and the all these things and then I memorize it. But do you find, I find this once I really get one of my stories set in my mind and mm-hmm. I'm used to performing it, if I've told it a couple of times in front of audience, then it become really more natural.
Yeah.
And I'm not doing it so much like remembering the words that I memorized.
Right.
I'm more just speaking it naturally in the moment. It kind of come more naturally.
Yeah. When I'm practicing my set, it will come out in a way that, you know, I'll find a more natural cadence than what I've sat and written and sounds in my head like a natural cadence. And then, but then I'll memorize that. Like I'll still practice.
Yeah.
What sounds not practiced.
Well, I think
because
that
otherwise I'd be terrified. And I really think of comedy as more akin to music than to acting. And so it's so important to me for everything to have the right rhythm and the right and land in the right place and sort of have, you know, the pitch and the cadence and everything. Everything enhances what makes it funny or not funny, because somebody could get up and read this and it would, you know.
Jonna here. I completely agree with that, Kate. It, the words and the sounds, the specific words and sounds are very important, and precision in comedy is important. I had a sketch that I wrote a line for another character, and the line was, "See to it he exhibits some restraint." It was a boss saying this to me, and the line was supposed to be read, "See to it he exhibits some restraint." Mm-hmm. And it was that kind of tap, 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 precise, dit, 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 like that. The actress who was playing that role got a little waffly with it, and she used to say, "Hey, get him under control."
Mm. Oh, no.
And it was like, no, it's no, not. It's Jonna. See to it, he exhibits some restraint. So those
remember,
kinds of
I'm sorry to interrupt, but no, remember that one line that I loved of yours so much, which was, "Excellent question, Mark."
Yes, I do. I remember that.
I still, it still makes me laugh so much. It was like, I mean, to explain what she was doing, she was like, she was a speaker with somebody that she had gone out with, right?
I was a gubernatorial candidate, a very high-powered woman, and giving a speech. And in the audience, I notice my long-ago high school crush. And it starts in me the same kind of girly crushiness as before. Oh, that sounds funny.
It was, Giselle. Oh, God. Jonna was so
funny. So then the guy, my crush, asks a question, and I goofily and flirtily say, "Excellent question, Mark."
Still makes me laugh.
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. Cadence and precision are really important. They make it funny.
Yeah.
No, timing is everything. Timing.
What is the key to comedy? Timing. Something like this. Well, that was a great mathematical set you presented there.
The only math I'm good at.
The math of comedy. Yeah, that's really interesting stuff, Kate.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Where are you going to be playing next?
I have a show at Mallow in Silver Lake on December 17th and in the Belly Room of the Comedy Store on December 19th. And then I will probably be in those two places a lot in the new year as well. And then I'm doing a big casino show in March in Indio at the Fantasy Springs Casino,
which is not
like a strip club at all.
Are you going to be topless?
I probably. I mean,
that's exciting.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited.
You probably
about it.
Have a very pretty chest. I'm just joking. No, I'm excited for your comedy.
I'm excited for it too.
That's really cool. How many minutes is you gonna be doing? I know that stand-up comics always the unit of measure is minutes.
Yeah,
how many minutes?
You know, they haven't told me yet. I am hosting, so I will probably be doing a lot of minutes spread out over the course of.
That's great. What fun.
Yeah.
Oh, what fun. That's going to be so much fun.
I will say I got this. I was thinking of this because of our earlier conversation and also your opening monologue about I was I got this gig because I was hosting a fundraiser for an organization that I'm very passionate about called Canine Companions for Independence. And it's something I do for them, you know, for free every year because I love them and believe in it. And it's like the one night a year I feel like I'm living my purpose because I'm doing comedy, but it's also for something good, you know. And it's like when you were talking about this is a certain form of God, you know, it is like a thing that brings us all together for this good cause. I feel like I'm making my thing, doing what I'm meant to be doing. And then something good comes out of it. And people who are, you know, everything from every walk of life come together and are part of this laughter. And
it's like, so that's where you got like discovered to do this show.
And then there was a woman in the audience this year who works for the improv. And she was like, you're funny. I'm going to tell her booker to book you.
That's so great. That is exactly what we were all talking about.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And it was, and it really was like out of just doing the thing that I feel is the most me.
Wow. I love that.
Wow. Do you know, I bet I can just picture it. You're at this canine fundraiser. You're just feeling so alive and full in your heart because, like you say, you're doing your life's work. You probably were so amazing in your comedy because it was coming from such a real place in your heart.
Right.
That, of course, the audience love it. And luck is have that there's the lady in the audience who can give you job.
Yeah.
And that's great. Marty have just come in. Is you about ready, Marty, for dish number two?
I know.
That's
I am.
Great. Hey, Marty, do we need silverware?
No.
No, we don't. Oh, that's even more.
That's even what better.
We're taking a picture.
Exciting.
Billy just took a picture. Marty is about to come in with dish number two for us. Well, Kate, that's great. Where can people find out more information about all of this? At your website?
At my website, katelure.com. That's L-U-H-R. It's a German spelling, as Giselle can appreciate.
Wow. Oh,
what's happening here?
No, this looks incredible.
Marty just came in with incredible food.
That looks like grilled cheese.
Food sensitivity?
I did. I asked. And I said... They're fine.
Okay. No, thank you so much. Oh, I got the Kate clearance. So Kate's ingredients were, I'm going to keep talking as I'm walking.
I hope you didn't combine them.
Were miso and turnips.
Miso broth, because I always buy it thinking I'm going to do something interesting with it, and then
that it was broth. I just used miso paste. And I mixed it in with the tomatoes.
Okay.
The tomato soup, so it adds a little depth.
Mm. Okay.
Turnips I've never really cooked with, so I just made a quick picture. They're very crispy.
Marty, hold that dish up so I can take a picture.
Did you say pickle?
Yeah, just a quick pickle.
Oh, hold it next to your face. There you go.
I will eat anything that is a pickle.
And then, Billy, your ingredients were cheese and onions, which were very challenging.
I know. I was like, why did I? That's just like, if I do anything or make anything, it's
cheese
and onions.
And a raw onion. Have at it.
So what's in the dish here?
This is some vinegar and turnips.
Vinegar and turnips with a tomato sauce.
Oh, yeah. This is just so you take your little grilled cheese with onion and then
dunk it.
So it's tomato.
It's like a tomato miso soup.
Okay.
And then
Marty, this is great. Bread.
When do we get to try it?
Oh, no. No. I think it's just a challenge.
You just get to look at it.
Yeah. It's radio.
Just trust me. It's good. You don't need to.
But the turnips, I think, turned out real well. They're like very light.
Yeah, these are tasty turnips.
Oh. Do you eat them with it? I'll eat a turnip.
Yeah, it's just a palate refresher.
Wow.
My palate is refreshed.
Enjoy.
Marty, I have some questions to ask you.
Please.
When did you start cooking?
Well, I was living up in the Hollywood Hills in a guest house that had no kitchen. And it was like 93 or so. And it was right when the cooking channel started. And I would watch the cooking channel. And I had to cook pasta in the microwave. And so... And there was no place to do dishes. It was just a room and a bathroom. So I would do dishes in the shower and just watch, just eating just a giant bowl of pasta. Yeah, because there was it was just a bathroom sink. The pot wouldn't fit in there, or the plates wouldn't fit in there either. So then the people in the main house moved out, and then So like, I just remember the first thing I really cooked well was like a piece of salmon that I snuck into the empty house and cooked a piece of salmon. Mm. So it was like the cooking channel, I guess. You know, I mean, I always cooked and ate tons.
This is delicious.
That's Hunger Games style cooking, having to sneak into a house to cook salmon. What kind of world were you living in?
Hollywood Hills.
This is so, I wanted to ask you a question, but my mouth is full. This is so delicious, Marty.
Oh, good.
Marty, this is great.
Oh, good.
Wow, it's grilled cheese on crispy bread with cheese and onions, thick tomato soup. It's really good.
The little trick for grilled onions is you put them on, this is like a little cooking tip here. Just put it in a big pot and then set it on high. Like you're supposed to put it on low and let it like caramelize over like 40 minutes or so. Just put it on high and you just keep adding little bits of water as it starts to get brown.
So don't cook it on low?
No, cook it on high and then it takes like 10 minutes.
But just keeping the water added so that it don't burn.
Well, you want it to burn a little bit, but before it gets, so it caramelizes, but then before it gets burnt, then you add a little bit of water and you stir it up and then you get brown and caramelized.
Wow. Yeah. And do you find you get to experience your creativity through cooking? Does it feed you creatively as well as foodily?
I guess so. Yeah, but it's like an easy fix. It's an easy fix. Doesn't require the same depth of thought that writing a Simpsons script or writing a 7-minute set would.
Oh, well, I see what you're saying.
It doesn't if it's your passion. I mean,
yeah.
If it's a thing that you're good at, it's easier for you. That's true of anything, because people will say that, like, I could never do that, it's so hard, but like, this is I could never do physics, that's really hard, you know?
Yeah, but I spent years writing sketch comedy and, and then decided, you know what, grilled cheese instead.
What is your favorite part of cooking? Is it the
eating?
Oh, it's the eating. Yeah. Delicious things.
The only reason, yeah. That's the only reason to cook.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah.
So you come at it not from so much like the alchemy and in the kitchen with the potions, but more, you're an epicure and you just like to have delicious experiences.
Yeah, because why else would you do it?
Yeah, I guess that. Well, some people love in the kitchen and throwing the ingredients around and they put the sprinkle of salt, but they raise their arm up so they make it go from high up.
Yeah.
You know, you always see in the movie their arms are flying around and doing everything.
Yeah, but that's like, you know, the whole process of writing is only as good as the people who appreciate it, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, if you just write and write and write and you sit and you stew and you brood and you drink your whiskey, you know, and nobody reads it.
That's my experience of writing primarily.
Yeah. Just drinking whiskey.
And no one reading it.
Well, this is delicious. Did you try some, Marty?
Oh, no, it's okay.
You want?
No.
You're missing the best part.
You said the best part was eating.
Yeah, well,
you guys are eating. That's a good thing. I'll go make another one.
Okay, what are you going to... Is you going to bring out a third dish?
The turnips.
Oh, okay. I got it.
Every
okay.
ingredient got put in somewhere.
Perfect. So, yes, you did. So the ingredients again was the tomatoes and popcorn, cheese and onions, and then the miso and turnips. He did really well. Yeah. Bravo to Marty. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try a turnip now.
They're good.
They are really good.
They are. They're they're pickled. He have a vinegar on them. He pickled them. It's nice. Yes. Okay, it's a little crunchy for the podcast. What can we do? Ladies and gentlemen, now it is time for 100 words. Oh. How many words do you get when you write 100 to 120 words?
199
words is what I have. I'm going to add one word.
Okay. I think I used up all my words when you gave me extra time. So,
did you guys write 100?
Yeah,
words?
But like I did it right before I came.
Oh,
here.
That's fine.
Oh, it's so crazy.
No, it's perfect. Get a little closer to the microphone.
It's crazy. I did it right before I came here.
I don't mind.
It's 99 words, so I'll add one word at the end.
Okay, you ready?
It should be a non sequitur.
Okay, you go for it.
Well, hold on. I'm not ready.
Okay, you want me to do mine?
Yeah.
I'll do mine. Here's mine. Her boss shouted back from the counter where he was helping a customer. Candace, we need more pint lids. On it, Candace chirped and ran into the stockroom. The box of lids was on a high shelf, and as she climbed down, box balanced on her head, Candace lost her footing and tumbled to the floor. She lay there staring at the ceiling. On one of the perforated ceiling tiles, a water stain she'd never noticed before. It looked like her own face, and it was smiling at her. And in her mind, she heard it speak. The stain said, "You are part of the chain of nourishment. Be proud of your place."
That is so good.
Thank you.
Giselle.
Thank you very much. That one I dedicate to Marty because he's part of the chain of nourishment today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marty.
Thank you, Marty. Mm-hmm.
I feel like a stain.
I don't know if your mic is his mic live. He said, "I feel like a stain." You're a beautiful stain.
A delicious stain.
No one would remove
he's
you.
He's a beautiful stain. Okay, Billy, what is your 100 words?
Okay, so I'm just not going to say anything. It's 99 words with one word I'll add at the end.
Okay.
But I just wrote it right before I came. I don't, no apologies.
No apologies.
Okay, so here it is. I once knew a little lad, and man, was he ever bad. Everything he did was wrong. To make a list would be too long. But why, you say, is this lad so bad? Because the love he needed was never had. The ones he trusted always let him down and dented his face with a permanent frown. But then, one day, everything changed. His mind was rearranged because he met a girl with a dimpled face and one simple curl. She loved him fiercely like he had never seen, because up to this point, he had only been mean. That was actually 100 words because I added one word when I was doing it.
Which one did you add?
let's see. It was right before curl. Simple.
Simple. Single.
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 Single word, and the word was single.
I'm going to put that in for posterity. Oh. Yeah.
Billy, you have quite a brain there for that, because that was amazing, and you just write it off all quickly before the show?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you have quite a brain. That's pretty special stuff. I love that.
Thank you.
Very nice. That was really great. Thank you. Kate, you have 100 words for us?
I have only one joke here that I didn't tell, so I could tell you it.
Is it 100 words?
I don't know, because I had picked out a different part to be my 100 words, and then I said it when you were like, "Keep going." I'll just say it. I don't know. So you can tell me whether I should keep this dropped or not. don't include this in your set. While everyone is online engaged in the meme wars over here, there's a lot of stuff happening offline that's inching us ever closer to the desert dolphins. But most of us are too busy on our phones to realize that it's happening until it's too late, or like until we take a BuzzFeed quiz that's like, "What kind of zombie are you?" And you get actual literal zombie. You are living in a wasteland and seeking brains. So basically, as you were. That's it. That's my joke, and I think it's like 86 words. Let's say that. I don't know. I have no idea.
That's great. I like what BuzzFeed. What kind of zombie are you?
Yeah,
I'm a shuffler.
I'm a shuffler.
I think I would want to be one of those crazy acrobatic ones from. Was that World War Z?
Oh yeah,
something.
Oh, yeah. Those are the fast moving kind.
Those running ones. That was freaky. This is Jana here. One time I had to write one of those online quizzes for a food company that was trying to start an online talk show or something. And so I had to write a quiz that was like, "What kind of sandwich are you?" And it was total bullshit. Like, you know, it was like
wait,
roast.
What?
Yeah, I just totally made it up. It was like roast beef. People see you as a natural leader, but you're also a good listener. You know, stuff like that.
Really, roast beef got that?
Yeah, roast beef got that. I was like. And then, like,
tuna is a terrible listener. Everybody knows that. Oh,
know that.
Like turkey, you're empathetic, and people see you as playful.
And you sleep a lot.
And you, and you hate to be in the rain.
But when the company put that quiz online, it actually got hits,
sure.
And people were taking it, and I felt so bad. I was like, I'm part of the problem.
Hey, I'm a roast beef.
Hey, John.
Now I can embrace it.
John, what kind of personality would a grilled cheese with onion be?
Oh, a yeah. Billy.
Billy. I think grilled cheese with onions is young and carefree. You like adventure, but you also like finding cozy places to just curl up with a good book.
Yeah.
Aww. See,
that's perfect. You should do everything about what every kind of food is, what you like.
I think the trick of these quizzes is to just include bullshit from the opposite ends of the spectrum.
Wait,
so
what?
So that anybody can find anything in any of them.
You could also do what
you're
do
destroying
you drink,
everything
like,
I've ever believed
beverages.
In. Donna, I really.
You was living on those BuzzFeed quizzes and now she ruined it.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Which BuzzFeed quiz are you?
That's a good one. Which BuzzFeed?
Did everybody hear him say that?
Is his mic? Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Which BuzzFeed quiz is you? That's funny. We're going to have a break now. You're listening to the Giselle Show podcast, Meet Friends. We will be right back.